Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Monday and Wednesday, it's apologetics and theology. Friday, it's whatever I want to talk about. Though we are going to be talking about religion today, but it won't be exclusively about the Catholic faith. In fact, only one of the people I want to talk about is Catholic. But what they all are is that they're celebrities, they're notable people. I'd say most of them are they're actors and musicians and one athlete. And so there's lots of people who did not make the list. I'm sure I'll cover it in a future episode. Even more Catholic religious celebrities. So I guess we could do one show that celebrities you didn't know that they were Catholic. I thought it'd be fun today just to talk about celebrities that you didn't know were religious, though there's all different kinds of religions out there, some that you're familiar with, and several on today's show I want to talk about that you may not be familiar with, or you've never even heard about it at all. One of these people, I had never heard about this particular church at least before, and I'm glad now that I know about it because it's scary. So that's what I want to talk about today. What do I have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8, one of them is a duo. So let's call it 8 people. 8 religious celebrities. You may not have known that before. So let's jump right into them. The first one would be Prince Rogers Nelson, a.k.a. Prince, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Prince, a.k.a. the songs you always hear, those wonderful... my favorite Prince songs are the ones from the 80s. So you've got Purple Rain. You've got Little Red Corvette. She wore a raspberry beret. A friend and I, we always used to joke for the song When Doves Cry, which is on the Purple Rain album. That was from 1984. I wish they just had, this is what it sounds like when doves cry. I don't know. Of course, obviously, that would ruin it. But what you may not know about Prince is that in 2001, he converted and became a Jehovah's Witness. So he had been raised as a Seventh-day Adventist, someone who believed in God, but he was someone who was known for brazen depictions of sexuality in his work, though a lot of that was dialed back later in the 2000s after he embraced being a Jehovah's Witness. According to an article at Billboard.com, Prince was introduced to the Jehovah's Witness faith by Larry Graham, the bassist for Sly and the Family Stone. He described this transition of faith to me when I interviewed him in 2008 for The New Yorker as less a conversion and more of a realization, like Neo in The Matrix, quote from Prince, the more he said, the more I realized the truth. And so it's interesting. There's people who will say that, like, Prince, you know, he would go and he would do the Jehovah's Witness thing where you knock door to door to evangelize people. And whenever that would happen, people would say to him, you look a lot like Prince. And he said, yeah, I get that a lot. And it just wouldn't go down that road any further. So, yeah, you may not have known that the artist Prince, who passed away in 2016, he was a Jehovah's Witness. All right, on to the second one. That would be Robert Nesta Marley. Born 1945, passed away in 1981, baptized in 1980 in the Rastafari faith. Who am I talking about? Robert Nesta Marley. Well, that would be Bob Marley, the famous reggae singer. We're going to be jamming. We're going to get up and stand up for your rights. When you listen to Bob Marley songs, you often hear elements of the social gospel. You may think that it sounds like a kind of Christianity, but actually, later in his life, Bob Marley embraced the Rastafari. So he was Christian, at least as a child, but then I think it was in the 1960s that he joined the Rastafari movement. So according to this article, Rastafarianism, which is more appropriately called Rastafari or the Rastafari movement, is a loosely organized Abrahamic faith that believes that the Ethiopian emperor Haile Selassie, who reigned from 1930 to 1974, was the second coming of the Messiah, based on ancient biblical prophecies, as well as contemporary ones, people like Marcus Garvey, that the Holy Land is in Ethiopia, and that black people are the lost tribe of Israel. And so there's a lot of elements for Rastafari. You might be thinking, well, I thought that he smoked marijuana. I thought that was his religion. That would be the ganja, which is considered a mystical element of Rastafari. So it's a weird eclectic mixture of kind of like Christianity and Islam and even these indigenous elements. But it believes that the second coming of the Messiah was Haile Selassie, the Ethiopian emperor, like says in the article, who reigned until 1974. And so you see this in songs like Get Up, Stand Up, for example. That was released in 1973, a year before Haile Selassie died. And you can see these elements in it. You see references in this and other Bob Marley songs to Yah or Jah. That would be the Rastafari word for God. You see other elements that if you listen to it, you'd think that like, oh, he's talking about Christianity. But no, he's talking about Rastafari. And I want to sing it. I don't want to get full into my Bob Marley voice, but sometimes I just can't help it. Sick and tired of your ism, schism. I'm just going to go for it. Game. Dying to go to heaven in the Jesus name, Lord. We know when we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So, I mean, I love Get Up, Stand. I was raised by reggae parents. So we didn't just listen to Bob Marley. They had an entire reggae collection. There's a guy, Yasur Nadur, my parents liked. They would go see reggae at the Belly Up in Solana Beach, Southern California, where we lived. Lucky Dubé. My dad had a bunch of Lucky Dubé. So no, I'm not just your typical words. I love reggae. It's kind of like people who say, I love Journey. And you ask, what is your favorite Journey song besides Don't Stop Believin'? If they can't name one. No, you don't love Journey. You love Don't Stop Believin'. Like, I love reggae. You don't love reggae. You love Bob Marley. You love, like, four Bob Marley songs. Don't tell me you love reggae. Tell me if you can reference another reggae artist. I don't love reggae. I'm familiar with it. I grew up with it as a kid. I'm trying to rack my brain now. I remember Yasur Nadur. I remember Lucky Dubé. I remember this one song that I loved, my dad used to play. It was about Nelson Mandela. But you know, my parents were, that's just what they were into. And that's what we listened to. We go to Lou's record store and it was a fun upbringing. That's for sure. So yeah, in any case, that's Bob Marley was Rastafari religion. Let's talk about our Catholic. We could do a whole episode on this, but the one that pops in my mind is Ricardo Montalban. This is an article 2012 from the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Catholic actor Montalban dies at 88, was a voice for faith in career. So Ricardo Montalban was best known for his role as Mr. Rourke on TV's Fantasy Island. The plane, boss, the plane. And he also did those ads for Chrysler Cordoba, soft Corinthian leather. He's been in a lot of things. And of course, 1980, one of the most famous ones that I would think of when I think of Ricardo Montalban is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And you got William Shatner chewing up the scenery. Khan! And he is a great villain. He plays Khan very well in 82. He's a great villain, actually, though he was devoutly Catholic. One of my favorite films with him, besides Wrath of Khan, he was in the 1962 film The Reluctant Saint. One of my favorite Catholic films, actually. And it is a biopic about St. Joseph Cupertino, right? You have the patron saint of who you pray to when you don't know the answer of a test, because he was a very holy man, but not the brightest in the bunch. And so like he was asked the one question on his seminary exam that he knew. He didn't know any of the others. And so he became a holy priest, and he was so holy, he allegedly could levitate off the ground, and this would prevent him from floating off up into the heavens. In the film, Ricardo Montalban plays like the priest who is skeptical of him, thinks he's not real, not authentic, maybe he's demonic in some way, and who opposes him. And he plays a wonderful villain in that role. And so, great film that I would recommend. And yeah, Ricardo Montalban, a devout Catholic, if you did not know that. All right, the next one I want to talk about, there's some people who are religious. They don't stay in the religions, but they're, you know, it's interesting to note what they were in. And people in Hollywood can often end up in, I don't want to use the word cults, because cult is a word that is very elastic, meaning people say Catholicism is a cult. Originally, the word cult essentially meant religion, a cult of worship. But I think of cults, if I had to use the term, I'd talk about more not the religion of it, but whether it uses manipulative tactics to alienate people and to isolate them from other people, that kind of isolation aspect of cults, psychological manipulation. But even there, that's up to the eye of the beholder. But you know what I mean when people use the word a cult. And so in Hollywood, we have Scientology, That'd be a whole free-for-all Friday right there in of itself. But Michelle Pfeiffer said back in 2013, admitted that she was in a cult when she first got to Hollywood. An article in USA Today says, a very young and clearly naive Michelle Pfeiffer was involved with breatharianism. Breatharians are those who believe that all you need is sunlight to survive. After landing in Hollywood at age 20, Pfeiffer, now 55, came under the spell of a couple who put her on a sustenance plan, quote, nobody can adhere to. Pfeiffer says, they were very controlling. I wasn't living with them, but I was there a lot, and they were always telling me I needed to come more. I had to pay for all the time I was there, so it was financially very draining. And there's ding, 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 ding. If your new religion is demanding that you hand over cash, hand over fist, lots of money to them, it's probably a scam. Probably a scam if they want you to hand over a ton of money to them. You know, there's one thing, you know, $5 or whatever for offering a mass or something like that. But if they're constantly demanding more money for you to scale up in this, it's probably a cult, probably a scam to reel you in. Her first husband, Peter Horton, helped her to go away from that because he was researching a role in a movie about the Unification Church. He was talking with an ex-Mooney, the followers of Reverend, was it Sun Young Moon, I think was his name, the Moonies, the Unification Church. And talking about the psychological manipulation that was involved, she said, it just clicked. I realized I was in a cult. Now, there's people in India who claim to be breatharians, and they've tried to do scientific studies on these people, like, okay, keep them away from food and water. Can they really last months on end? But they always make up an excuse, like, oh, there's pollution in the air, so I can't get enough nutrients from the air. Or, you know, they let them bathe. They don't give them water, but they're allowed to bathe. It's like, oh, well, they're probably still sneaking water when they're bathing themselves. All kinds of things where these studies end up falling apart. Someone could have a mutant metabolism, lets them live off very minimal fluid they might get from dew or, you know, other things like that that they're able to get at. But no, the human body, without divine assistance, it can't survive extended periods of time, especially months on end, without food, definitely without water. So, all right, the next one on the list is the couple I talked about, Donnie and Marie Osmond. Clean cut. I'm a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll. They're Mormons. You probably knew that, but you may not have known that. It was funny. I was looking on Donnie Marie's website, actually. When I was researching my book, 20 Answers Mormonism, I was writing that booklet a while back, and I was looking for Mormon arguments. And there was a lot of Mormon arguments on the Osmonds website talking about their Mormon faith. And they had an apologetic article talking about, here's why we don't believe in the Trinity. Here's why we think the Trinity doesn't make sense. And I'm like, Donnie and Marie, I just wanted some clean cut fun. I don't want you tearing down a central element of my faith. I don't want to see heresy here. I want to have a little fun with you guys. Now you had to ruin it by bringing in your anti-Trinitarian nonsense. Still fun to listen to, though. So Donnie and Marie, which brings up the question to you, dear listener, are you a little bit country or are you a little bit rock and roll? All right. The next one on the list, I've got two more here for you. The next one would be Val Kilmer. And this also applies to Kelsey Grammer. Val Kilmer was a Christian Scientist. Or he belonged to the Church of Christ Scientists, I think is what it's called. So this is started in the 19th century by Mary Baker Eddy. And Christian Science, you might see these every now and then in some downtown areas. They have the Christian Science reading room that you can go into. And what they believe is that they believe in things. It's hard to summarize. Like, if you read Mary Baker Eddy's writings, it's very esoteric and difficult to decipher. One of their main tenets of their belief, though, is very strong mind over matter, that they don't really believe in the reality of illness, for example, that these are just different ways that the mind or the spirit might manifest itself. And so Val Kilmer was involved in this, and he later, you know, he developed throat cancer. If you remember, this was done very well, by the way, in Top Gun Maverick. I was so glad that, you know, they did the sequel to Top Gun. Awesome movie. I've talked about it before on the podcast. And they brought back Val Kilmer. You can't do the sequel to Top Gun without Ice Man. And so in the film, Val Kilmer's character, Ice Man, is now like a really high up admiral in the Navy who kind of looks after Tom Cruise's character, Maverick, and keeps him out of trouble. And so in the film, they talk about how he's actually, well, spoiler alert, you've had enough time to see Top Gun Maverick. Cycle ahead 2 minutes if you don't want to hear this. So, I mean, he dies. He talks to Maverick, but he dies of cancer. And it's presumed that he has a cancer that's affected his throat. He's unable to speak. So there's a wonderful scene where Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer are together. Val Kilmer barely speaks because in real life he can't really speak because he has throat cancer. So according to this article, it says that he originally was not going to go to cancer treatment because his Christian Science faith would not allow it. In Kilmer's faith, his diagnosis is not throat cancer. It says it is the suggestion of throat cancer. The idea is rather than say I have it or possess it, there is a claim, a suggestion to that fact. And so it's something that it manifests outwardly, that could be diagnosed as a malady, but it's something that you could pray away rather than seeking medical treatment. And so his children, who are 24 and 28, Jack and Mercedes, they protested it. They're not Christian Scientists. And so Kilmer later said, I just didn't want to experience their fear, which was profound. I would have had to go away. I just didn't want to be without them. So then he later got surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, which has left him with a tracheostomy tube and a feeding tube, and they consider the treatments a success. So I don't know if he's still a Christian Scientist or not. He still hasn't passed away yet. He seems to be still hanging on there. But yeah, Christian Science, let me another one. So many things to cover on the podcast, but it's helpful to... You know what? I should talk to Jimmy Akin about this. We do a course, different courses at Catholic Answers. It might be nice to do one on these kind of hodgepodge Christian things that sound Christian, but depart from it and are definitely not within standard Protestantism. Stuff like Seventh-day Adventism, Christian Science, Swedenborgianism. There's all kinds of the Church of God, all kinds of stuff like that. The last one is Michaela Maroney. So Michaela Maroney won, she won the gold medal at the Olympics for, it was for gymnastics. She was 16 years old. She retired in 2016 and revealed that the doctor for Team USA, Larry Nassar, had abused her. I think he had abused her and other people. She gave a statement at the 2018 trial, and later he was sentenced to 40 to 125 years in prison. So Michaela Maroney, you might remember also she had that very famous viral photo where she's like doesn't look impressed and has like kind of this not impressed smirk on her face. I think she later posed with President Barack Obama to kind of make fun of the pose. But it says here that she used to belong to a religious organization called Church of the Master Angels. So Maroney has been plagued by health issues of her own. Talked about how her dad died in 2019, detoxing from opioids. It says that she has health issues of her own. So at one point in her life, she turned to Master John, leader of the Church of the Master Angels. I met Master John 4 years ago, Maroney said in a podcast. I had what they call chronic fatigue, leaky gut, stomach issues so bad that I couldn't eat anything. In August, the gymnast told Elle Magazine she was referred by her chiropractor to Master John Douglas, the leader of the 10-year-old church. According to the book Medical Miracles by Master Angels member Dr. Richard L. Sarnett, Master John can see inside people's and animals' bodies and call on divine intervention to heal everything from cancer to lupus to Lyme disease, and in the case of a Jack Russell Terrier pup, parvovirus. If he can see inside of people, I'd love to do an experiment with him. I'm sure we could do x-rays to check what someone does look like. Maybe you could swallow a letter. That'd be interesting. Something that could digest in your stomach, take an x-ray of it, ask Master John, look inside him. What number do you see of the thing that's, you know, or the numbers of like, or you could do like a radioactive dye or something. I don't know. I'm sure you could do experiments. That's why I love James Randi. I disagree with his atheism, but I love testing the paranormal because there could be paranormal claims, but I want to see if you really got the right stuff. He has the ability to see matter at the particle level, which is a quantum concept, which doesn't, a quantum concept, what the heck does that even mean? Quantum just means really small, okay, at the particle level. And you just throw, it's like Deepak Chopra, you just throw this stuff out there and hope that it sticks with people that don't think through it very hard. So it talks about that I had all these toxins from a bone marrow infection. Is burning in my chest and my throat when he prayed over me. It's always toxins. It's always something really vague. And then once again, follow the money. Operating out of North Carolina's remote Heavenly Mountain, church has two chapels and a 15,000-pound Maha crystal. Well, whose Heavenly Mountain church can't have a Maha crystal, right? Which devotees credit as transmuting negativity and transmitting blessings. The group peddles $150 tokens to cleanse food, $250 for prayers, $2,000 for healing pendants, and $10,000 just to get a seminar. Moroni told Elle, "It's obviously not for everyone. At the end of the day, it's my choice. I am not in a cult." The Church of the Master Angels website emphasizes that it is not a cult. Newsflash, if you have to say you're not a cult on your website, you've got problems. You're probably a cult. If you have to say it, I'm not, you know, once again, cult is a word that's loaded. It's been thrown at the Catholic Church a million times. But if you got to pay $2,000 for prayers and say you're not a cult, if it walks like a cult and it talks like a cult, probably is. You know what's, oh, here's another thing you need to watch. By the way, it's very graphic. Don't watch it if you are easily disturbed by violence, sexual violence. The Nexium cult. My wife and I watched a documentary on that had the girl who was a Smallville actress. It was like this sadistic person who would recruit women to be like sex slaves in it. At the bottom of the pyramid of the Nexium cult was just motivational workshops. And at the inner circle, it was women who were basically sex slaves. Crazy stuff. There are Catholic, I'm sure there's Catholic communities that can be cultish. You got to watch out for that. Just keep things transparent. Listen to people's voices. Trust your gut on things. And don't lose your head over something. Always maintain the virtue of prudence in that regard. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I hope this is helpful for you all. And that, I hope that you just have a very blessed day and blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.